good morning, or should I say Jumbo, which is hello in Swahili, which is an interesting language, actually. It's kind of a blend of many African languages and Arabic, so it's sort of become the trade language of Eastern Africa. In, 2007. In 2005, Janice Brunson and I went to Maserat, Spain to attend the first ICUU conference that was open to non-council members. And at that conference in Maserat, Spain, where we stayed at a Roman Catholic monastery, we met Salugians who had trained to become a Roman Catholic priest and completed all of his training. But right at the end, he was talking with another Kenyan priest and discussing his religious views, and the priest said, "You know, you really sound like a Unitarian." So, based on that conversation, he began to explore Unitarianism and never took his vows, and subsequently started a fellowship in Burundi, Africa. So while we were at that conference, Janice and I are kind of outgoing, so he said to us, "You know, why don't you come and visit us?" Little did he know, never extend an invitation to me and not expect me to show up. So we, you know, we said, "Sure, of course, we'll come. No problem." We didn't even know where Burundi was at all. Kind of vaguely where the continent was. So, and then after that, here's the really important part that's pretty exciting, is after that, Janice, who used to be a reporter, in fact, we both lived in Saudi Arabia at the same time, and she worked for the Arab English newspaper there, found out that there was a Unitarian church in Lagos, Nigeria. And then she found out that there were some other emerging congregations. And really, no one was very aware of this at all. So she started tracking them down and then said, "We're going to go visit these churches and et cetera." Okay. So before I got to Africa, she went to Lagos, Nigeria, and met with the congregations there. And you may recognize her in the lower picture as the one person who looks a little different from all the other congregants. But Lagos is the oldest congregation of Unitarians on the continent of Africa. The one in South Africa is the second oldest. So that's pretty amazing. And this service that she attended was in a church that was built in 1936. This minister right here, I'm not going to try to pronounce his name, attended the Unitarian College of Theology in Manchester, England, as you can see here. And actually, after that visit, he passed away. So now they are looking for a new minister at this church. Okay, and then these are just some pictures of the ministers and congregants in Lagos. Again, we can tell who Janice is. Okay. all right. They have Sunday services, and each family pays about $4 a year to support these congregations. The ministers work without any salary. You know, they have to earn money other ways. And they really can't expand their services because transportation is a huge, huge problem. So, you know, they have the Sunday services, but nothing, really nothing else, because they can't get together. Nobody can afford to get together more than once a week. From there, Janice flew from there to Nairobi, Kenya, and I met her at the airport there. And then I'm going to move over here and hope I can do this without looking at my notes anymore. So we flew together to Burundi. And Burundi is kind of in the center part of the Great Lakes region of Africa, which is here. And it's obviously called that because Lake Victoria and all these lakes are kind of right in this area. So Kenya is here, and the Great Lakes region is here, and Burundi is here. Burundi is one of the smallest countries in Africa, and it is either the poorest or second poorest country in Africa. It kind of competes with Rwanda for that special designation. Africa is a country of drums and percussion instruments, and it's just wonderful, but the Burundi drummers are famous even within Africa. They're just amazing. It's very athletic drumming where they leap up and down and jump over the drums, and so that was a really wonderful part of being there. This is just a little picture to show you how beautifully people dress, and it's just wonderful. I put this in because I think that it's really hard to understand here what it's like to be an African woman. You know, some people have cars and motor scooters, but women walk everywhere, and they usually walk with a baby on their back, something on their head, and, you know, something else in their hand. They do most of the agriculture in the country, and, I mean, in the whole continent, not just Burundi. And they do it with a hoe. There's not even an ox hooked up to a plow. I mean, they are out there manually digging out the dirt to plant their potatoes and yams and whatever. They work so hard, and it's such a tough life. Okay. So when we got there, the very first night, we went out with the UU Fellowship Board. And I want you to note down in this lower corner that one of the board members is a woman. That's very unique, because women really have very little say in many things, in anything that's sort of outside of the home. They really had to fight hard. And here's the Bujumbura is the capital of Burundi, and this is the fellowship members. So we had a big, I'm not going to go into this too much, but we had a big dinner there that Janice and I hosted, and this is that night that we had the dinner. So here's our Bujumbura UU Fellowship. Okay. And then the following Sunday, then we did some other things, and the following Sunday we had a UU Fellowship service, and Fulugence led us in song to sing Wonder, Wanderer. So every time I hear that song, every Sunday here, I just kind of get a little teared up because it's just, really means a lot to me, and we sang Spirit of Life, and it was great. This is just a little information about Burundi. They rank 17th in the world for mortality rate for children under 5. I want you to note the average life expectancy is 44. I mean, just to give you the contrast, you know, to our country or Western countries. And the population growth is very high, very high. So you see babies everywhere. It's so different from here. I mean, everybody's got babies and everybody's got little kids. And you see little two-year-old kids on the road and there's nobody around. And it's just amazing. So, okay, after that, we then left and flew back to Nairobi. And we're met by the Kisi, by a large group of people from Kisi, which is a district in Kenya. We'll go into that a little bit more. But there are since our trip, two different groups of UU Kenyans have registered with the government. One is considerably more liberal, and there's some real tussling about what exactly Unitarianism is in Kenya, I must say. The more liberal group is made up really more of young professionals, very similar to the congregation in Bujumbura. The other group is really a large group of rural, small congregations in a rural agricultural area, Kisi, of Kenya, and you know, their interpretation of what Unitarianism is quite different. Okay. And this is Kisa. So then we traveled by bus over the worst road I've ever been on in my entire life to Kisi, and stayed here in this structure, which did have a little bit of electricity, no running water, of course, no plumbing, the outdoor facilities for using the restroom were kind of here, and the well was about there, which made me pretty anxious. And we slept on the floor with lots of women. Anyway, okay. And then the next, so we actually hosted a dinner there when we arrived. I got to tell you, after we got to the to Kesey Town, we then transferred to this truck right here. And there were lots and lots and lots of us in that truck. And then we were on these rutted, muddy roads and were crammed together in this thing, and people are sweating on you and everything's drippy and wet and muddy, and then we get to where we're going to stay, and we all squish out of this truck, and it's really muddy, and I step out of the truck and sink into the mud. And I just started laughing. I just couldn't control myself. I don't know. I mean, it's just so different than your real life for me, you know. It was just, I don't know. It was really funny. They go, "What are you laughing about?" I go, "Oh, I'm just so happy to be here." So the next day we got back in that truck, 40 people and just a regular pickup truck. I can't tell you what that was like. People are like, six people are hanging off the back, literally. And it's bouncing like this. You know, how they did it, I don't know. Anyway, okay, so the next morning we go out to the orphanage, which is a UU orphanage, and we, of course, get out on the muddy road, and these women are singing to us. And this kind of responsive singing, it was so beautiful. Both Dennis and I just started crying. I mean, it was just so touching. So we visited this orphanage, and there's about 600 children there who are receiving some services and schooling. They live with local families. If there's ever any money, you know, if the Reverend Patrick and his wife and this group can raise any money, they distribute it to these families so they can help support these kids a little bit. But I mean, it's really meager, really, really meager. And they had organized an entire day of presentations for us, and so these kids are singing poetry skits, a play. It was really incredible. Okay. Then we had a church service, and very, very Christian church service, but really wonderful. Okay. And then these are just a little statistics about Kenya, because, you know, one of the things that you notice all the babies, and you also notice you do not see that many old people. You just don't. I mean, because they've passed away. So, you know, and I want you to notice that life expectancy in 1970 was 52, in 1990 was 59, today it's 48 in Kenya. It's going down. So, that was, you know, it's really, and you can tell because you just don't see old people. Okay, after that experience, after we went there, Janice and I were communicating with the International Council of Unitarian Universalists before we went, while we were there. We were at the internet cafes every day. That's the best way to know any society today is go to the internet cafes. And so then after we came back, about two or three weeks later, Gordon Oliver, who was at the time was the president of ICUU and is the African liaison, followed in our footsteps, went to all these same congregations we visited, and also went to Uganda and the Congo. So, and, you know, tried to do kind of at least a quick intro assessment, et cetera. And I, you know, I really have to give Janice tremendous credit, because if we hadn't done this trip, they wouldn't have done the trip and would not have started really working with all these congregations and so quickly, maybe someday, but not as quickly. So then after that, Doris and I, in October, the ICU, they have a conference every 2 years, and so their next conference, what happened to be in October of last year, and it was in Germany, and so Doris and I attended that, you know, very specifically with the intent of furthering our exploration and information gathering of what was going on with the African congregations, and really because Unitarianism is really spreading around the world. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I'm thrilled, but it's amazing how much it's been spreading all over the place. So the mission of the ICUU is to build relationships through communication collaboration, to develop spiritual community among member groups and their leaders, to identify and nurture prospective and emerging groups, to foster our UU faith for mutual inspiration, development, and growth. Here is the ICUU map of the world. I mean, how exciting is this? So here we are. We're all over the place. I mean, New Zealand, Australia, Sri Lanka, Philippines, and actually a couple of Mexico is not on here, but now in Mexico. And one of the things I need to say is this map represents the full members. Now, these congregations I'm talking about are emerging or prospective members because they have not met all the criteria and they're not there yet. So this is our full membership list of the countries that are full members of the ICUU already. Okay, so that's great. Let's move on. And as you can, it's kind of hard to read that a little bit because I couldn't get the blue to switch. But, you know, it's all over the world. Okay, so this is the whole group of people who attended. There's about 100 people here. And it was, you know, it was just really great. I mean, there was one person from Austria, the one Austrian member, and then the young man in the wheelchair and his girlfriend, they're the two Italian UUs, period. But they communicate by internet a lot, and so it's kind of funny, even though they're not really having services, you know, they are communicating regularly with other UUs around the world. Okay. This was Martin, the go-to guy. We really liked him, of course, because we always had some problems. And he, as you can see, he's networking with one of the conference participants here. This is really why we go to conferences. And there's Fallujans networking with another participant. So, okay. Unfortunately, this slide's a little dark, I can tell, but this is Gordon Oliver, who I mentioned followed us, you know, after we went to Africa, then went on that trip all to all the emerging congregations in Africa. And he has been so wonderful and supportive and worked so hard. The churches from every, not every church, but every continent was represented with services throughout the conference. It's wonderful. And but one of the longest and most and certainly the most fun and lively was the African all the African participants did a service together, and they did, you know, singing and praying and dancing, and then they broke out the drums and everybody just started singing, and it was just really fun. And here's Janice dancing. You use letting loose. Who knew? We can move like that. Okay. Then I want to mention this because I thought it was really, really wonderful. Another thing I haven't mentioned yet is, but one of the things that I was, after this, I did give some presentations to some other churches. And one of the churches I gave presentations to was the UU Whittier Church. And I said in lieu of a speaker's fee, what I really needed were some hymnals, because they didn't have hymnals, Judy, because they, none of these churches have hymnals. And most of these countries, the national language is English. I mean, Uganda, Nigeria, Kenya. So, you know, these hymnals are useful, too. I mean, it isn't just the music, but the words. They can use the words. So they gave me 4 hymnals, and here I'm presenting one to the Nigerian minister, one to the minister from Kisi. This was the pianist from Indonesia. They used to be Seventh-day Adventists and decided they didn't like it anymore. They still meet on Saturdays. Yeah, they liked the day, but they didn't like the Seventh-day Adventist. They felt Seventh-day Adventist was a little constricting. So they changed. And this is Mark from Uganda. This is a very newly emerging congregation. Again, this is a young professional congregation. You know, I mean, you've got to cut these two groups. So this, again, is a group of young professionals in Uganda who felt that other faiths were a little less, didn't permit quite the level of intellectual inquiry that they were looking for. So this is our conference chairperson. Her name's Anji. Anji and I have known each other about 7 years. We met at an international conference at the NGO IARF, which is International Association for Religious Freedom, which is which has been another kind of parallel. Before there was the ICUU, International Council of Unitarian Universalists, Unitarian congregations around the world were meeting at the IARF conferences, and so that's how Angie and I met each other at one of those conferences. Okay, and here we are working hard with French and German members. They opened early in the morning just for us to have some wine tasting. This beautiful conference was in the Rhine Valley in Germany, where, lucky for me, it just happens to be the wine-growing region of Germany. So we went and had some wine tasting before. Went back to the conference and worked hard. After that, we left, and then we got on an overnight train and went to the Unitarian Church in Prague. And we stayed in the Unitaria Apartments, which you can only stay in if you're a Unitarian, and it's a fabulous location right next to the Charles Bridge and the heart of old Prague. I couldn't believe how fabulous this location was, and it was only 30 euros a night per person, so click that in your brain if you're thinking about going to Eastern Europe. It was really wonderful, and the people from the Unitarian Church there were just so gracious. And I had really been wanting to go here because, you know, we do the flower communion every year at Easter time. And that's where it came, that was created by Reverend Norbert Chapek, yes. Who sat, this part is nothing wonderful about this. He died as a martyr in a Nazi concentration camp. In Germany, Doris and I met Dr. Ditt. I'm not going to try to pronounce her name either. And she subsequently invited us to dinner in her home in Prague. And she and her husband were so interesting and kind and good and talked to us a lot about trying to maintain their faith and their values under communism. And it was pretty heart-wrenching, I got to tell you. Then we went to a Czech service, Sunday service. It was in Czech, so we enjoyed the music, perhaps a little more than the service. But it was again wonderful. And then afterwards, they all sit around and have coffee and biscuits and things, and we talked for a couple hours. It was very fun. Okay, so, our under the UUA, the Unitarian Universalist Service, is that Service Council or Committee? Committee. Has done a lot of things in Africa for a long time, but it hasn't really been particularly with UU Africans. It's just been, you know, where the need has been, working with AIDS projects, food projects, etc. So what kind of change, or what's been augmented, not really a change, but has been augmented to that, is now there are social action projects that are specifically working with African Unitarians. And we, our congregation, has been very involved in those. So one of them has been the UU Burundi Microfinancing Project. And what our goal has been there is to help Fallujans to have enough funding to develop a microfinance project over a 12-month period, because once he can do that, he's already registered with the Burundian government, but once he can do that, he can then go to greater sources of funding, and it won't just be dependent on Unitarian Universalist funding to do microfinance projects. Another project that Janice really has been spearheading, I must say, is a palm oil factory in southern Burundi. And she has secured quite a bit of funding to expand this palm oil factory, which, sorry, I lost my train of thought there for a second, has now employed about 25 additional families through this expansion. And through the income is now paying for the internet connection, so that instead of having to go to an internet cafe, the UU Fellowship in Burundi has an internet connection all the time, and you know, which is crucial, because that's really the way, I mean, nobody can afford to use a telephone, so that's the way they really communicate with people around the world. Another project, a project that we have been real involved in, is supporting a vocational school, assisting and supporting, providing some of the money to help support a vocational school on the outskirts of Nairobi, Kenya. And the goal of this school's mission is really to provide vocational training to teenage girls and women who have been infected by HIV/AIDS. So it's because it's really hard for women to support themselves, in Africa. You know, if they're married, sometimes they can work for their, you know, as a supplementary income. But if they're widowed or divorced or don't get married, it's really hard for them to support themselves. So what this school does is it provides training in sewing, knitting, cosmetology, and some other things. And then when they leave the school, they're given a knitting, all these are not electrically used, but they're giving a knitting machine or a foot trundle sewing machine so they can go out and be self-employed in little tiny businesses. Okay, what we've done already, what have we done already? You may not be aware of this, but in 2006, after we went to Montserrat, our church, through social action, collaborated with a church in the UK and the church in Phoenix to purchase a laptop for the Burundi Fellowship. Through fundraising through the raffle of Danut Giltinen's handmade beautiful quilt that's up here, an anonymous matching grant, and contributions from our congregation as well as fundraising from speaking engagements at other UU churches, we have raised $600 for a vocational school, $200 was donated to the orphanage in Kisi, $300 was donated by Howard Hetrick to purchase recording studio equipment, and actually I also purchased a printer and a camera for the Burundi congregation. Funds were raised to provide $300 for microfinancing projects in Burundi, and $500 was donated to assist with funding the leadership conference that's going to be held in Nairobi, Kenya between February 2nd through 6th. I didn't mention this yet, but after Janice and I and Gordon traveled through Africa, the number one need that was identified was to have leadership training. I mean, think of all the resources our church has for all of our programs. I mean, they have nothing. You know, they have maybe a hymnal to share and can get on the internet. So it was really identified if these congregations were going to become more organized and grow, they were absolutely going to have leadership training. Okay. Current status. Current status. I hope today you'll buy some more raffle tickets if you don't have one yet for this wonderful quilt. And there's actually going to be two other things. We're also going to give you some, the second prize will be some placemats from the vocational school that were made by the students at the vocational school. And the third prize is a chalice necklace that comes from Burundi. But here's the other really exciting thing. We, our board voted to join the Unitarian Universalist Partnership Church Council, and we did that last year, and we have spent a lot of time evaluating our ability to become a partnership church. That will be voted on by the congregation if we proceed. But we haven't been able to do that because we haven't been able to identify a church that would really be the right church for us. Okay. Wait a minute. I just have to go back there for 1 second. Okay, so but anyway, so we're in the process of gathering the information to be a Unitarian partnership church with a church in Africa. And we have been asked to be the beta church, the test church for this new kind of partnership with African churches.